Hello, and welcome to Second Row Conversations. I'm Letitia, also known as Lady P, and I am so excited that you decided to join me today. I have a special guest with me. Her name is Antoinette Black, First Lady Antoinette Black, and she has decided to join me on the second row. Thank you for joining me today.
Pleasure all mine.
Yes, you. Absolutely, absolutely. And I know it was kind of, I guess, a surprise when I reached out to you, maybe, to say, hey, I want you to join me. But I am so grateful and so thankful that you decided to say yes. So welcome to the second row. Welcome to the second row. So I always start the show off with a question with my guests. So the question is, what are three words that your friends would use to describe you?
Three words that my friends would use.
Your friends would use. Not what you would use, or what would your friends
Number use? One would be, she's crazy.
Okay.
Okay. Number two is would be that she's kind.
Okay.
And number three would be, she's crazy.
She's crazy. What? Why do you say crazy?
Because I am blunt.
Okay.
And I'm bluntly honest.
Okay. Okay.
I'm not going to say, maybe they won't say I'm crazy, because over the years, it depends on what segment in my life that you came in.
Okay. Okay.
But they're going to know that I'm pure at heart. I'm not a sugarcoater.
Okay. Okay. So, how do you separate your life? Is it before First Lady, after First Lady?
All the same for me.
It's all the same. Okay.
It's all the same for me because I'm always myself.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm always myself. I'm always honest.
Okay.
As a female,
mm-hmm.
I believe I don't let the title First Lady label me.
Okay.
So to speak.
Yes.
I'm a First Lady because God chose me to be a First Lady.
Mm-hmm.
But my personality is I serve him with everything that I do mm-hmm. and everything that I pursue to do.
Right.
But all my friends are not safe.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So when they come to me, they don't have to tell me, okay, it's time for you to take out the First Lady hat. It's time for you to put on the First Lady hat.
Okay.
Because I'm across the board, I'm the same. So they be like, oh, that's First Lady.
Uh-huh.
They'll say things like that.
Okay.
But they know that the words that are coming out of my mouth is honest.
It's honest.
It's
okay.
Honest.
So I'm a sincere place.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. And then you said crazy. What was the second one?
Mm-hmm. I don't even remember.
I remember. Honest? I think
honest.
It was honest. Okay.
Yeah, and probably crazy again.
Crazy again.
And I would say they would say crazy because some of the things I say they don't expect for me to say as a First Lady.
Really?
But you're my friend.
Right.
And I know you as my friend.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I know your life and I know what you're doing in your life and I know. So I'm not going to sugarcoat certain things that come to me because we all love God.
Mm-hmm.
But we all are not living a life to represent God.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So it's going to definitely be like, okay, yeah, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
How you look at a situation? Oh, yeah, that's reality.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of conversations with female, is a male involved, okay?
Right.
Sometimes it's the children involved.
Yes.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So across the board, they would say, oh, she's bluntly honest.
Okay, okay.
So, good. Yes, I'm still going to stick with crazy, though.
Okay.
but that's probably what most of them would say.
Okay.
Because of our rapport.
Right.
Our relationship.
Yeah.
And they know that I love them with my whole heart. Mm-hmm. They know that I'm there for them. They know that I show up anytime.
Absolutely.
I'm that good girlfriend.
Okay.
But over the years, I realized that someone said, oh, she's a First Lady. I can't tell her that. You know?
Mm-hmm.
She's a First Lady. She's not going to approve of that.
Mm-hmm.
But I love my friends as they are. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wherever you are in life, I love my friends.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
So that's what it was.
You meet them where they are.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And try to help them become mm-hmm. better. Yeah. Yes. So when you became First Lady, mm-hmm. did you lose friends? Or did some of the relationships shift? Did you notice a shift in your relationships with some of your friends?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Okay.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
Because they respect the title. You know?
Right.
They respect the title.
Okay.
The old Antoinette is not the same as the First Lady Antoinette.
Okay.
You understand?
Yeah, I understand.
And so they'd be like, oh, no, we're going to hang out now. You got to be home by curfew. You're a pastor's wife. You know, that's just how they treat me.
Right.
And I love them for doing
that. Okay. And I was going to ask, how does that make you feel some type of way? Or do you appreciate the fact that they are respecting you?
Like I appreciate that they respect mm-hmm. me.
Okay.
And they don't put me in hard situations. Yeah. Not like I'm not a big girl to get out of the hard situations, mm-hmm. but I will address them and say, I know you didn't. This is foolishness.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I'm that type person.
Okay.
Even when I go get my nails done, like, what do you have me listening to? Mm-hmm. Because there's a level of respect.
Yeah.
You understand? Mm-hmm. And my friends respect that.
That's good.
And I absolutely love them for that. They keep me level as well.
That's good. Yeah. How do they keep you level? How do they do that?
By being honest. You know, sometimes as a first lady, I need an outlet.
Yeah.
You know, and I call my friends and say, I need breakfast.
Okay.
I want to go out. I want to do this. I want to do that. Mm-hmm. They said, come on, Antoinette. You know?
Yeah.
Because they're like, okay, she needs a break.
She needs it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because being a first lady is tough. It's challenging. Right. Mm-hmm. It's challenging. And there are challenges that we go through that other people may not necessarily understand.
Right.
Because we are the one that's married to the pastor. Mm-hmm. But he's a human just like everybody else.
Yes.
And so marriages go through what they go through. And so it's a challenge. And that's one thing I've learned is that it is hard sometimes. And you don't always have somebody that you can talk to. So it's good to have good friends.
Mm-hmm.
Some people that you can fall back on and just be who you are. Mm-hmm. And you said, be the same. Uh-oh, I dropped my cards. I do that every time.
Got it. Okay. Sorry.
But it's important to have the group of friends that you say you can just let your head down and not necessarily be the title, have the title on.
Mm-hmm.
It's just being Antoinette, and that's good. And then, like you said, if I need a minute, if I just need to get away, they're there for you.
Yeah.
And that's important.
Those friends that's going to bust me out the back door.
Exactly.
I got those type of friends. Let me get her out of here.
Right,
you understand
what I'm
saying? Because they know me. Let me just coop her up.
Yeah.
Let me just scoop her up. Mm-hmm. We're going this way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's not ready for this today. You understand what I'm saying? And everyone needs that good girlfriend that's going to do them for that.
Yeah.
Do that for them.
Mm-hmm.
And my first lady friends. I don't categorize my first lady friends, but their relationship is different than my friends that I've had like in college and my friends that I grew up with.
Right.
It's a little different.
Okay.
Because my friends that I knew in college, they know a different side of me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's like, oh, well, she need to be saved. I'm glad she's saved.
Right.
You know? You understand what I'm saying?
Yes,
and then
some
of my first lady friends don't know the unsaved Antoinette.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So I think I have a happy medium with my friends.
Okay. And that's important. Mm-hmm. So your first lady friends, like what are some of the things you guys do? Like, you know, besides church, do you hang out with them? Do y'all like go shopping, or do you have that relationship where you can call and say, hey, this is going on and I need you to pray with me? What are some of the relationships? Or how does that look?
Depends on the relationship.
Okay.
Because some first lady friends are just first ladies. They're not friends.
Right.
You know?
Okay.
And so I have come across many with my husband being a pastor.
Mm-hmm.
So some of them, honestly, just like any other girlfriend, some of them we connect with and some of them we don't.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
But my good friends, we have been friends for a long time.
Okay.
And you don't ever want to bog down another first lady, with what's going on in your life.
Exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You want to keep that friendship. Most of my other first lady friends are older than me.
Okay.
The ones that I can dine with, the ones that I can talk to.
Yeah.
They're ones that's been married for a very long time.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then there are the other ones like, okay, girl, you're good with me. We're safe. We're good. I like what you got on.
Yeah, yeah.
We're vibing. Girl,
okay.
I love you because I love your vibe.
Right.
I love your personality.
Right.
We're connecting. We're there.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? And then some first ladies, they don't really want to be first ladies.
Right.
You know, you're just another female that's here and your husband's preaching and you're just sitting there.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's different. It's different across the board. But
okay.
Most of my first lady friends that's older than me, they have wisdom.
Yeah.
You understand?
Yeah.
They have wisdom in this journey.
Okay.
My mother-in-law is a first lady.
Yeah.
I have sister-in-laws that's first ladies.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So everybody's wisdom is different.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so everybody's wisdom is different. Then I have the good friends of like, okay, yeah, she's going through.
Yeah.
And then I know somebody that's going to pray me through. Like,
exactly.
Okay, she told me this, it's major.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I do categorize my friends and my first ladies.
Okay. So let me ask you this. When your husband... When you married him, was he a pastor?
He was not.
He was not a pastor. Mm-hmm. Okay. Neither was mine. Far from it.
Mm-hmm.
When you had the conversation of, hey, I think the Lord is calling me, when he came to you with that, what were your initial thoughts?
Well, I knew my husband was called.
Okay.
But when I met my husband, he wasn't pastoring.
Okay.
He was serving, and that's something that he still does.
Okay.
He still serves as a pastor.
Right.
And we don't see a lot of that, but my husband still serves. So when I met my husband, he was a minister.
Okay.
And I was serving in church, and I remember like it was yesterday. I was in the kitchen. I was doing something with fruit. I do know that. And someone said, "Antoinette, can you see yourself being married to a minister?" And my response, Lady Plowden, was absolutely not. Very sincere. I meant it. But God had other things in plan. But I knew when I met my husband, he had a call on his life.
Okay.
And I didn't think I was a part of the plan. But God put me in the plan. Yeah, because my husband has always been called.
Okay.
And I saw it in him, and I was like, you need somebody good and wholesome.
And that ain't me. Right. I mean, I'm good, and I'll serve, but yeah, I don't know if that's
Right. And so and I was like, I don't know. Because you know, you're a church boy, you know, and. No.
That's not it.
No, this.
Did you grow up in the church?
I did.
Okay.
But Baptist, I grew up. And then I have roots in the PAW, Pentecostal Assemblies of the World.
Yeah.
So a little bit of both.
Okay.
And I was always that child that was a part of everything in church.
Yeah.
Vacation Bible school. We doing YWA. You know, we're meeting for fifth Sundays and all of that. And when I got older, I began to know Christ. And that was when I was grown, basically, when I began to know Christ and build a relationship with him. In my younger years, I had family members praying for me that made me believe in the God that they served. From generations to generations, I had older cousins that just like, oh, why don't you want to be saved? I'm like, wait a minute. Y'all don't look fun. Like, everybody wearing skirts all the time.
And I just can't get with it. That's not my life. That's y'all. I'm good. Right.
So, as far as growing up in church, I'm not a PK.
Okay.
So, no, I grew up in a single-parent household.
Okay.
So, very different.
So, kind of similar. I grew up, I am a PK. My dad was a pastor, so grew up in a church. And I said the same thing. I will never marry a pastor. Never be a first lady. I can't do it. I saw my parents, I saw where my mom was like, no, I'm good. And like I said, my husband was not pastoring. Wasn't thinking about it, but God has a way. And it's mighty sweet. And it's funny sometimes, but that's how he does. And he knows who can handle it, I think. And so, yeah, that's where we are. So, awesome. He knew. He knew.
He knew.
When you saw you, yeah.
He knew he had a plan. I was like, sir,
yeah.
But
I'm
Yeah, he came in my life when I needed a friend.
Okay.
And I was not trying to be nobody lips, hips, and fingertips.
All right.
I mean, I was just like, sir.
Don't have time.
Thank you for worshiping with us. I was on hospitality. Thank you for worshiping with us. And that was it.
Okay.
You understand? But he became my friend.
Okay.
He wanted to get to know me. And I still was naive. Like, sir, I try to hook my husband up with other people.
Really?
Yes, I did. I said, I got somebody for you.
She's good. She's wholesome.
Right. You know, you need somebody like that.
Yeah. But God said no.
God said no. He wore me down.
And your husband said, I see exactly who I want.
Right. He knew way before I did. We was taking pictures and everything.
Really?
And I was still like, sir, I can't believe God want me to be in your life. But it has been a great journey. We've been married for 18 years.
Awesome.
In October.
Okay.
So two kids.
Really good. Two kids. Mm-hmm. Two kids. And they all how old?
16.
16.
And 13.
Okay.
One girl, one boy.
Wow. So how has that been for them? How is life as PKs?
Life as PKs. Well, my youngest, he always asks his dad, how many services we got today?
Oh, my God. That sounds like my little brother was the same way. Like, Daddy, you preaching again today?
Right. He got two questions. How many services we have today?
Okay.
And who's preaching? I'm like, sir, oh, my goodness.
It don't even matter, sir. Just come on.
Right.
Okay?
Just come on. Yeah. You're going to church today.
Right.
But as PKs, we try to have a happy balance for them.
Okay.
Because nobody goes to church like PK kids. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. And my kids, okay, if we got two or three services, we might let you stay home.
Okay.
We're not going to wear you out too much because my husband pastors an hour and 20 minutes away from my home.
Yeah, so that's a drive.
Right.
Yeah.
And so school and everything. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's now. But when they were younger, my oldest child was with me in the carrier everywhere with me serving.
Okay.
So she is the PK was like, she didn't really say anything.
Yeah.
And now to this day, okay, we're going to this concert. Where are we going? She's the one that I can say, what's the scripture for today?
Okay.
You know. Mm-hmm. But when you get to high school, it's peer pressure.
Yes, it is.
You know the word, but you got to be able to stand on it.
Yeah.
At any time.
At any time.
You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So she's 16 now, and just raising a teenage girl is like, oh, my God.
Yes, I've been there.
Right. Raising a 13-year-old African-American boy
mm-hmm.
is also like, what?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I am that defensive parent.
Okay.
I don't think my kids make no mistakes.
Okay.
I know they do.
Uh-huh.
You understand?
Yeah, I
know.
I hear you.
I know my kids make mistakes.
Okay.
But I learned a very valuable lesson when my daughter was in the eighth grade.
Okay.
About racism. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that it actually was in the classrooms. But it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
it is.
My oldest child has a mouth like me.
Okay.
And she couldn't discern your spirit if you like her, if you don't like her, and your attitude towards her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was a challenge for me.
Okay.
So, and also my son, he's more quiet.
Okay.
And we find ourselves defending him in most cases. But he's an African-American boy.
Yeah.
And so I'm very sensitive about my kids.
Okay.
And I tell the teachers that. I tell everyone that. Like, these are my children.
Mm-hmm.
If you have any issues with them, call their dad.
Because mm-hmm.
their mom.
I thought you were going to say, call you. No.
Call their dad.
Start there.
You want to start with their dad. You do not want to start with their mom.
Okay.
But
at least you know that.
Right. I do know that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Because by the time it gets to me, if I have to call my husband back, he like, oh, she couldn't handle it. Mm-hmm. She is really
mm-hmm. going Let me
up.
Get
a- He's trying to calm me down at this point. Because I'm a paper trail type parent.
Okay.
Let me know what happened and my kids have consequences at home.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. You're not going to embarrass me when you leave this house. And you're going to come back in the same way you left out.
That's right.
And that's my expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm very honest and a part of my kids' life.
Okay.
Good. And good. Everywhere they go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do they participate in church and all the things?
With the distance? No.
That's right. Because it's an hour. And
right. It's an hour. And so it's kind of difficult for us to get them there.
Okay.
But they always... My husband's been there almost 2 years.
Okay.
I may be wrong. So definitely trying to find them some place now for them to be active and more involved.
Yeah. Okay.
Because of the distance, and we can't commit to getting them there certain places. I know it may sound like an excuse.
No. I totally understand. I get
right.
it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's harder. It's hard when you have to travel that far.
Mm-hmm.
For like choir practice.
Mm-hmm.
The middle of the week.
Right.
Like it's hard, especially if they're in school. And are they active at school? Participating in things at school?
Well, my daughter was on marching band.
Okay.
And so she's a junior. So now she don't want to do that anymore. Like, I'm like, okay. my son, he's not into sports, so he's pretty much to himself, but they're both musical.
They're the blacks.
Right.
Okay,
they
so it's in their blood, right?
They love music. You understand?
Yes,
so
yes.
Definitely my daughter went into her chorus room and she just put her hands on the piano and her teacher was like, you have a gift. You might even want to do something with that.
Okay.
So we're still waiting for that to come to fruition.
Okay.
And my son believes that he can play the drums for any and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So we're just trying to critique it,
you
know, and get him some lessons and whatnot.
Right.
But he loves the drums.
Okay.
But as far as marching band, anything like that, football, no, not really.
Extracurricular
activities.
And that's fine. That's good. As long as they find what works for them.
Right. Exactly.
Right? And then as parents, just parents, period, not even preacher and pastor and first aid, just parents, making sure that they're good and they're well-rounded. That's so important.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Peer pressure is so hard. I mean, it's always been around, but it seems like today it's another level. So how do you... do you encourage them with reading the Bible and praying and all that comes along? Not just, I mean, just knowing who God is.
How do y'all do it? Okay. Absolutely. I am that parent that anoint her kids. Mm-hmm. I'm that parent that pray for them.
Okay.
Daily. Mm-hmm. I also have them do a prayer for themselves before they get out of the car.
Yeah.
And also Bible.
Yeah.
They both have Bibles.
Okay.
My son has been blessed with a Bible from his grandfather.
Okay.
They also had a kiddie Bible when they were kids.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. And I just actually got my daughter a new Bible. She wanted the NIV version.
Yes.
And she wanted another book from the Christian bookstore. I went to, I think it's Malden Christian bookstore.
Okay. Okay.
And I wanted her to pick out her own Bible.
Yeah.
Because I wanted her to be able to interpret
for herself.
And I wanted her to pick out something that she likes to read.
Okay.
Because at this age, I want you to be able to regurgitate it.
Yeah.
To your friends.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you need a word, I need for you to be able to find it.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can go back to your dad's sermons and everything, but it's different for having a word
for yourself.
Music is not going to get you everywhere.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. you always need that word.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
definitely, I am that parent that still anoint the kids.
Mm-hmm. It's needed.
Right. And it's talk needed. To them about who they are and who they're not.
Okay.
And I pray that it sticks.
Yeah.
You know,
mm-hmm.
I always tell my kids there are some mistakes that's not fixable. Mm-hmm. There are some things that you can do that your parents can't get you out of.
That's right.
And I need for you to listen the first time.
Yes.
And my household is a household with consequences.
Absolutely.
You know, you have to have consequences.
It won't kill them. I promise you. Consequences
right.
will not kill them.
You have to have consequences.
Yeah.
But definitely not forcing the word on them, but letting them know. That this life is temporary.
Yeah.
And let them know that everybody don't have your life.
Mm-mm.
They have the biggest hearts.
Okay.
They always want to help someone that's not like them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But you have to be the stronger vessel.
That's right.
You understand what I'm
saying?
Yeah. Because the devil come in to sift you as wheat.
That's right.
You know, he mm-hmm. wants you on their side.
Yeah.
Even with you being a PK kid, you know, they definitely. He's coming after you.
Yeah.
And I need for you mm-hmm. to be able to stand with adversity.
That's right.
When it comes. I need for you to be able to stand on this word.
Exactly.
So that's definitely why I took my oldest to get a Bible of her choice.
Okay.
And I actually send her scriptures, and I want her to tell me where her interpretation is.
Yes.
Because my interpretation probably can't be her interpretation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I also want to know how you're applying this to your
right.
daily life.
Yeah.
How is it applicable?
Yeah.
You know, because we read the Bible, but we must also live the Bible. And so she's
Absolutely.
16. You
yeah.
know, I have not too much longer before she's out in this real big
own.
World.
Yeah.
And she can't wait. She Mm-mm. can't wait to be on this. I'm saying this world is nothing to play with.
Not at all. Not at
right.
all. And especially how can you apply it as a 16-year-old?
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things that she's going through that
mm-hmm.
I mean, you as 16-year-olds never
dreamt of.
Yeah. So you're right. How can you apply that to where you are right now
mm-hmm.
in your situation? So that's important.
Right.
So that's good.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me your motto. I know what it is, but tell them what your motto is about serving.
If you can't serve, how can you lead?
Okay. Talk about that.
Growing up in the church or mm-hmm. when I became a part of the church and an adult, as an adult, I had to serve.
Mm-hmm.
I went to church one Saturday to a meeting. Like, I don't even know why I'm here.
Okay.
And I had some assignments. Oh, you're going to be over the singles. Or you're going to help with the youth. Or you're going to do this. I was not afraid to clean the church.
Okay.
I had to go to Saturday to clean up day.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Whether I wanted to or not, you were expected to be at cleanup.
Cleanup, right.
Mm-hmm. And you had to clean.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody ain't watching. Nobody do nothing around here.
That's right.
So if you can't clean, how can you serve God's people
mm-hmm.
and lead them
mm-hmm.
if you can't clean the house of God?
Right. And we put that as like one of the lowest
mm-hmm.
jobs
mm-hmm.
in the church. So if you can't do that, clean the bathroom, if you
mm-hmm.
can't vacuum, then how can you, like you said, how can you lead God's people when you can't even take care of his house?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
I remember where we're in ministry right now. I got the vacuum cleaner, started vacuuming. I'm like, and I probably had on a dress and some flats.
Yes.
Like, what am I supposed to be afraid of right
mm-hmm.
now? I even went in the kitchen and helped them batter some fish because it was taking so long. We got to get this done. Let's get it done. Is the grease hot? You know, we got people waiting.
Yeah.
Because I'm not afraid of that. Right. I'm a servant at heart. I married a servant, so it makes sense. So definitely, that's one of my mottos that I believe that you have to serve God people. And I'm also a servant to my husband.
Okay.
In a certain extent, because I'm not a pastor's wife that sings.
Okay.
I don't preach.
Okay.
But I do serve the man of God as his wife.
Okay. How do you do that?
I'm there.
It's expound on that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm there when he needs me.
Okay.
Being a pastor is not always a bunch of daisies. Mm-hmm. Being a leader is not always a bunch of daisies.
Okay.
And being someone that pray for him. Mm-hmm. And pray for our family. I want to make sure that he's good. I want to make sure that he's good to go out to other people, even if we are in a quarrelsome. Because you know, marriage, you know, it happens.
Needed fellowship. That's what
right.
I thought. Yeah,
right. We need to make sure that you're good. Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm serving you. Okay, what do you need?
Yeah.
Even if I'm upset, hurt, whatever the case may be, I know my husband's going to come through for me.
Right.
And I'm looking like, you better come through.
Exactly.
But I'm pretty sure he has proven himself over and over again that I'm there in spite of.
That's right.
If you ever seen that meme with the old lady and the man with the umbrella, that's absolutely us.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on, if my husband could be fire mad at me, if something is going on and I need him, he's coming through.
Yeah.
He's coming through. Mm-hmm. He might fuss about it later. But he's definitely coming through.
Absolutely.
I'll take the noise later, but exactly. I need you right now.
Right,
exactly. And so definitely, and that's for him as well.
Okay.
But he's not the type of like, Antoine, I need to do this. I really have to learn to watch the signs.
Right.
I'm very watchful of my husband.
Okay.
I can watch the signs. I've been with him long enough. And I can tell. And even if he don't tell me, I can tell in prayer. And when something does come up, I'm asking him questions to make sure that it's not flesh. Right. Because the flesh will have a feeling foolish.
Okay.
And so let him know, you know, that I'm still your person.
Okay.
Regardless. So serving him. What you want for dinner today?
Okay.
You know, what can I do to make your day better?
Right.
You understand? Because there's so much going on. Don't forget about me. I'm still here. You know, what can I do to help you?
Yeah.
Regardless of what's going on, I'm still asking those questions. Okay. Now, your girl don't cook every day. I'm not a 7-day a week.
Because I was about to ask. You was like, I cook and I'm whole. That's awesome. Okay.
My husband sprung this on me this year.
Okay.
Because we really used to eat out a whole lot.
Okay.
Due to time and everything of that nature. But in this season, because you got to know when your season shifts.
Yes, ma'am.
In this season, he wants me to cook. And I'm like, sir. Now, when we first got married, you got 7 courses. You got bread with every
come
meal.
On, yes.
You getting away. You looking around. I'm like, sir, just because I work at home, I'm not a stay at home.
Right. There's a difference.
There's a big difference.
There is a difference. Yes.
So for me, I try to plan meals for him. So I ask at the beginning of the week. What do you want?
Okay.
And I got to think and see if I want that as well.
Okay, yeah.
And if my kids are going to eat it.
Because
my kids, they're fast food babies.
Okay.
So I try to serve him by making sure that he has what he needs at home.
Okay.
To answer that question.
Okay.
If he needs something, he's going to let me know in some cases. But most cases, I have to pay attention.
Yeah.
He's not an outspoken person.
Okay.
I really have to pay attention to my husband. And so being in the bed with him, I'm that person that's going to pray for him when all the phones are off and the doors have closed.
Yeah.
And he have drove home to be in our home. I'm still there.
That's right.
So praying, laying hands on him, and being what he needs me to be when he needs me to be it.
Absolutely. And that's just, like you said, it's another area to serve. Mm-hmm. Serving in the church, and then serving your husband, and then serving as a mom with your kids. So you just have a life of service, and that's important. And you said you can't lead. How can you lead if you can't serve?
Right.
Do you feel like some people do get caught up in that, I'm the leader, I'm in charge, and I don't have to serve?
I do. I do think a lot of people see glitz and glamour at the top.
Yeah.
And they don't know what the valley is. What the low points are.
Right.
And you have to be able to distinguish the difference. Because a leader is someone that's doing it with you, getting you there.
That's right.
And if you haven't been there, how can you get me there?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And yeah. So that's good.
So that's exactly mm-hmm. what I look at.
Okay.
Being a leader is more than just a voice. Mm-hmm. You have to lead by example.
Yeah. More than just a title.
Right.
Right.
It's more than just a title. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. more than just a voice. Mm-hmm. It's more. Leading is not making other people feel beneath you.
That's right. That's right.
Leading is you're with me. Mm-hmm. I'm not over you, but you're with me.
Yeah.
You understand what mm-hmm. I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's different.
Okay.
So that's exactly what I believe.
Okay.
Knowing I am a delegator.
Okay.
But I know how it's supposed to be done.
Yes.
And I know when you're not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Okay.
Even with my age, because I'm a younger first lady.
You are?
So I have people that's older than me.
Okay.
You know, mm-hmm. That's working in ministry. Mm-hmm. And so I'm watching, and I do have all respect that's
okay.
due.
Okay.
Because I was raised to have respect for my elders.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I'm still scared of my mama, so I'm still one of those kids.
Okay.
You understand?
Even at our age, mm-hmm. you know, mama can still get us. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So just paying attention.
Okay.
And watching people lead others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm very observant.
Okay. Okay. What is one piece of advice that one of the seasoned first ladies have given you that's helped you?
If I had to pick one, it would definitely be there for your husband.
Okay.
Be there for your husband. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I've always follow that.
Okay.
Because I am someone that's not attached to my husband's hips when he ministers.
Okay.
So you won't see me in the pulpit every time my husband preach.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm
mm-hmm.
saying?
Mm-hmm.
One thing for sure, he's coming back home to me.
Okay.
You understand what
uh-huh.
I'm saying?
I hear you.
He's coming back
yeah.
home to me.
Okay.
I don't care how he get there, but he coming. So that was one.
Okay.
Because you know, it's some people just I want to be a first lady. That was never me. You understand?
Never.
So that's always one of the things that hold dear to me, that he's coming back home to mm-hmm. you, regardless mm-hmm. of what he sees out there.
Right.
You understand?
Right.
Regardless of who comes,
yeah,
he's coming back home to you.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one.
Okay.
The other one would be make your home peaceful.
Yes.
And I try. Okay. I can't say 100% of the time
no,
that it's
peaceful. I don't think anyone can say that.
Right, because if I see that garbage running over,
ma'am,
it's over for
ma'am.
Me.
Listen,
there's no peace.
There is no peace.
There is no peace.
Yeah, I tried.
Right.
But now we got to deal with this.
Right,
and so
exactly.
here we are. Right. Yes.
So,
yeah,
and
yeah.
then it becomes peaceful. But
okay.
I want my home to be peaceful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want my home to be peaceful. And I still strive for that, for
okay.
my home to be a peaceful place
okay.
For my family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Self-care is important for you. I saw that also. Tell me, what do you do? How do you practice it?
Absolutely. I love self-care.
Okay.
To me, self-care is necessary.
Yes.
And how I do it, since I work at home a lot, sometimes I run to the office because my office is an open space.
Okay.
And it's not a lot of people in there on some days.
Okay.
That's a part of my self-care. Mm-hmm. I am someone that can be alone in the home all day long without a TV.
Okay.
I'm not a TV fan, so I don't watch a lot of TV.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's one way that I practice self-care. Spending time with God to me is self-care.
Okay.
You know, not
yeah.
only do we go to God and we just pray, but we have to stay there for an answer.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's a way of self-care. It's mentally, physically mm-hmm. and emotionally.
Okay.
And you have to be able to give that time to you.
That's right.
And you have to be able to be like, okay, now that I'm full, now I can go to the next person.
Exactly.
And just turning off everything.
Okay.
And silence for
mm-hmm.
me.
Mm-hmm.
Rest for me is something that's big.
Okay.
Sometimes you have to put yourself in time out.
Yes.
It's easier said than done,
yes,
but sometimes
ma'am.
You have to put yourself in time out.
Okay.
Someone is always needing you. Someone is always calling.
Yeah.
Younger in my marriage, I would say, I'm off work today. But I'm going to watch a movie by myself.
Okay.
I'm going to dinner mm-hmm. by myself. Mm-hmm. Just for me to be alone.
Yeah.
You know? Uh-huh. I would get my popcorn and go to the movies and enjoy it.
Really?
I would drop my babies off at daycare.
Okay.
This when they were younger. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just for me to have that time alone.
That's important.
Now at this time, don't call me. Call your daddy.
Okay.
You understand what
I'm
saying?
Yeah, yeah.
I need you to handle this. Mm-hmm. I need some time. And in my household, we understand the importance of mental stability.
Okay.
Okay. So you have to be mentally stable.
Yes.
In order to do anything.
Right.
So for me, that's putting myself in time out. Mm-hmm. Self-care. Oh, I have Lemon 8. It's an app.
Okay.
Self-care. It tells you about self-care. The big things that's on Target. For facial cleanings yeah. and things of that nature. Okay. Oh, my goodness. I am just in love.
Really?
Okay, let me go. You know, let me go to Target. And in Columbia.
So you're a Target girl, too?
I'm a Target girl. Okay. And girl, I'm so bad now they deliver to my house.
Yes.
Deliver. I used to just do pickup.
Yeah.
But now it's delivery.
Oh, okay. I ain't gotten there yet.
Yes,
I go,
deliver.
I do pickup. Okay.
I said, yes, we're going to get this delivered today.
Yes, yes.
So I absolutely love self-care.
Okay.
Time away. Mm-hmm. Time to yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to do.
Do you feel selfish when you do that? Do you ever have any feelings of selfishness? Like, I need this time, but I don't want to feel like I'm taking time away from my husband or my children. Do you ever have feelings like that? Or do you just say, I know this is what I need for me, and I just got to get this done?
I don't really feel selfish.
Okay.
I don't feel selfish about it because I guess it's always been a practice in my home.
Right.
My husband don't demand me to show up at certain services or certain things.
Right.
He just don't demand me to do a lot of things of that nature. He let me be me. For my kids, they already know, oh, mama's laying down. Because I tell them, mama needs a break.
Okay.
I tell them, mama needs a break. And try to say, at this point, if I'm fussing and everything, my son is saying, Mom, you need a break.
They're telling you, right. I think you need to go lay down,
Mom, you need a break? Everything okay? Because I am over 40 now.
Right,
so that brings in menopause and all kind of other things.
That's a whole conversation. Yes.
Right, exactly. Yeah, yeah. But I don't feel selfish about it because I know I'm coming back.
Right. And better.
Right. You're coming back and better.
Right.
And you're going to be calm, and I'm going to be able to give my best self to you. Mm-hmm. You don't want to shortchange your family because you're tired.
Right.
You want to be able to say, I need to give my best self.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, I think when you said that, it makes me think of the superwoman complex, that women felt like, I know for my mom, like she would always say, a woman's work is never done. Mm-hmm. And it was always going. And she would always say, I'm just so tired. Mm-hmm. And I think that has kind of come down to me. It's like, I feel like I always got to be going, always got something to do. Do you think that women just have this, for some women, have this thinking that they have to do it all? They have to be there for everyone. And it's hard to just be there for themselves. You think that's something that some women deal with?
Absolutely.
I know you don't, because you've learned.
Absolutely.
You've learned the importance of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
How do you think how women can overcome that, you think?
For me, it's always a schedule.
Okay.
It's a schedule and planning ahead.
Okay. That's important.
You have to be able to plan ahead and schedule. Mm-hmm. And you have to make sure that your family understands. Mm-hmm. It's not that I don't want to be here for you.
Right.
But I definitely need some rest.
Yes.
Because I think scientists say that you must get 8 hours of sleep a night.
That's what they say.
But we're so busy. We got to make sure these dishes.
Okay.
This laundry folded. If your husband works, you got to make sure this lunch is fixed.
Okay.
We on to the next.
Yeah.
You understand? We're always doing something.
Yeah.
And we always want to show up for someone.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Mm-hmm. But we have to be able to say, God, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I need to rest.
Right.
You only get one body.
That's it.
You don't get a second chance at life.
Yeah.
I mean, you may have an organ donor or something like that, but obesity and mental health in the African American community is something that's real.
It is.
And it is. I need for all my sisters to know you're not replaceable.
Right.
You know, some people say, oh, you're replaceable.
No,
you're not replaceable.
So you got to take care of yourself.
You have to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
And you got to have that balance.
Yeah.
You know, one of my friends, I say, oh, my playtime. You know?
Yeah.
Because are my toys. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because we're little girls that became women.
Yeah. Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now we have all these added responsibilities. We got to take care of the husband. Oh, we got to take care of the members at church. We got to take care of our kids. Yes. We got to show up to the basketball game, football games. Everything.
And if you like my husband, he wants to show up to the sports of the other children in the church. So it's not just, you know, our daughter's an adult now, but it was going for her and then this child. And we love doing it. It's good, but it's just, it can be tiring. It is, yeah.
And you have to be able to decipher. Mm-hmm. For me, my husband's the pastor. Mm-hmm. I'm not the pastor.
Right.
Or my husband is the founding pastor.
Yeah.
Or my husband is for hire. Mm-hmm. He don't come to my job doing nothing. Right. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
He comes to my job and do nothing.
Yes.
So I go because he's the pastor and we're a family unit and we support and we love the members there.
That's right.
But I'm not your pastor. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'm easy to tell people that. I'm not your pastor. No, I do know some of my First Lady friends are pastors.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. And they have a different role to play. But definitely, I would say always take time for yourself. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a day or a few hours, you always have to mark off time for yourself and to rejuvenate.
Right.
Because we always going, we always showing up for people, we always want to be a part. We don't want to be think lesser of because we're the pastor's wife and she didn't show up to this. Or I didn't like her outfit today. Or her hat was, she didn't have on a hat.
Right.
She didn't have on a hat. Or her heels was too low. Or her dress was too big. Or it was too long.
It is always something.
It's always something. Yeah. You can't live your life in a perpetual state of trying to please other people. Look at yourself in the mirror and say, I'm happy with this.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm happy how I look. I'm happy how I feel.
Yeah.
I'm happy with what I'm doing today. Because some stuff just got to roll over to the next day.
It's just going to have to wait.
Right. It's going to have to wait.
It does.
I get to it at some point in time. The good thing with having teenagers, they can help with the house chores.
Yes.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then if you have a financial like that, somebody can come in and clean for you. You understand what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
I dream of those days.
No, yes. Me too.
Right.
So do I.
Right. So you have to be able to make sure that you are as important as you make other people.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you talked about a piece of advice that someone has given you, a woman has given you, one of the seasoned first ladies. I don't want to call them old because they're not. Mm-hmm. They're seasoned. What would be a piece of advice you would give to a new first lady, someone whose husband has just come into the ministry or just become a pastor and they're just trying to find, you've given good nuggets so far and I love it. But what would you tell a first lady that's maybe feeling like they just don't know where they fit in, trying to figure out, like this was not a goal of theirs. They were not trying to be a first lady, but this is where they are. What is something that you would tell them?
Be authentically you.
Okay.
And let others adjust.
Mm-hmm.
Be yourself.
Okay.
If you and your husband decide that he's going to embark on ministry, you're going to support your husband. Mm-hmm. And as you pray, God is going to reveal things to you for you to give to the ministry that's attached to you.
Right.
Because you're still their leading lady.
Yes.
Regardless of who's doing this, mm-hmm. you're still their leading lady. Mm-hmm. Okay. If you're new in ministry, that's absolutely what I would say. Wherever my husband went, I observed for a long time.
Okay.
Just observe that ministry to see exactly how can I help or if there was a need. And then I pray. I continue to pray to watch what's needed.
Okay.
But as a new first lady, God's going to give you what you need. Mm-hmm. You're not there by happenstance.
Right.
You know? Mm-hmm. You're there because you're chosen.
Yes.
You're chosen to walk by this man. God already knew that he was going to be a preacher. You just didn't know.
You just didn't know.
Right.
Because he knew if he told you, you would have ran.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Possibly.
Yeah,
yes.
Definitely.
Yes.
So new first lady, I want you to be authentically yourself. Mm-hmm. Somebody wants what you have to offer.
Wow. Yeah.
That's it. Mm-hmm. Be yourself. Mm-hmm. If God has gifted you to sing, sing. If God has gifted you to preach, preach. If God has gifted you to teach Sunday school, teach Sunday school.
Right.
If God has gifted you to do an outreach ministry, do the outreach ministry.
Okay.
But God has gifted everybody with different gifts.
Yes, he has.
You just have to find out where your gift is.
That's right.
And as a new first lady, you want to know how. Mm-hmm. How you can help your husband in ministry.
That's right.
Because you're his helpmate.
That's right. That's exactly.
And you have to figure out how you can help him. Mm-hmm. You know, some husbands are stubborn. They don't want your help. But you have to figure out how you can help him.
Okay.
You have to figure out how you can help your husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you're a unit.
Absolutely.
You're one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're doing this together, regardless of what somebody may say or how it may look. You're in this together. God has already put you together with this person.
Mm-hmm.
God already knew that there was going to be a preacher. As I stated, you didn't.
You didn't.
Right.
But he knew. God
but
knew.
God knew.
Mm-hmm.
The whole time God knew. Mm-hmm. So you have just chosen to be that man's wife.
Right.
And his first lady.
Yeah.
Because he's the head.
That's right.
He's the leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. It's been good. It's been good. So, I've started a new segment.
Okay.
To Second Row Conversations. I got to get my notes, y'all. So give me a minute. It's called MOTW, Message of the Week. And I started it last week, and I just kind of talk about the message that I received on the Sunday prior to coming on the second row for the Second Row Conversations podcast. And so this is the second week of MOTW. So I'm going to talk to you a little bit about the message that I got yesterday. And so it came from Pastor Jeremy Plowden, Elder Jeremy Plowden. It came from Joshua 24, 1 through 15. And I'm not going to read it because that was a whole lot of reading. But the focus verse was talking about when Joshua says, talking to the children of Israel, and he declares, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And so basically he started off and some of the nuggets that he gave, he started off talking about making a commitment and why it's so hard for people to make a commitment.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't like to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. We only want to know how does it benefit me? And sometimes in commitments, it may not benefit you, right? It may benefit the other person. So if you feel like if it doesn't benefit me, then I don't want to commit. I don't want to make the commitment. When things get hard, we forget promises. Because, and I think with that, he was saying that there are promises that are sometimes given in that commitment. And when things get hard and we just feel like, you know what, it's not even worth it. And I'm just going to leave. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be a part of this. I'm done with it. Especially in relationships, right? It's hard for us to be committed when we feel like we're not getting anything and we just forget about the good that's going to come out of this commitment. And we leave because it gets hard. And you can stop me if anything kind of sticks out to you. You go, ooh, yeah, that's good. He gave a definition of commitment, engagement or obligation that reflects freedom of action.
Okay.
So my commitment to God causes me to say no to certain things. So I have the freedom to say yes. I have the freedom to go where I want to go and do what I want to do and say what. But my commitment, my obligation causes me to say no to certain things. Commitment. Is not challenged until you have the ability to act out, but we choose not to. So we can choose. We have the ability, like I said, to do what we want to do, but we choose not to because of that commitment. And another thing he said that I thought was really good is sometimes people are committed as long as people are watching. They know people are watching, but how committed are you when there is no one watching you?
That brings me to obedience is better than sacrifice.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Obedience is better than sacrifice.
It is, absolutely. And I remember growing up, my dad would always say that. And I didn't quite understand. I just, okay, obedience is better than sacrifice, whatever that means. But the older I've gotten, I'm like, yeah. And I read the scripture, I'm like, you know what? It absolutely
obedience is better
than
sacrifice.
It is. So just be obedient. Mm-hmm. From the beginning.
Just be obedient from the beginning.
Right.
So you don't have to sacrifice your soul.
Exactly.
You know? And my thing is, I want to get the lesson the first time. I don't like repeats.
I don't.
So let me be obedient in this so I don't have to go through this again and again and again.
Don't have to do the retake.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. At school, we have a retake policy. If you fail the test and you can go and remediate that area. Right. I don't want to have to do the retake. Mm-hmm. Like you said, let me learn the lesson and I don't want to go through that again. God.
Exactly.
So I will. I hear you. Mm-hmm. I promise you don't have to worry about that again. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. Right. Be fully committed.
Exactly.
You know, don't waver.
Don't waver. Mm-hmm. Don't waver. Mm-hmm. Every interaction you have with people is an opportunity to represent God.
Absolutely.
Yep. That was really good. Mm-hmm. And he said, you don't want your last interaction with the person to be negative. That the last thing they remember about you is how you treated them. Mm-hmm. That the last interaction you have with your spouse, if God forbid something happens and they say the last interaction I had with them was them yelling at me or being disrespectful, or your children. You know, so we have to remember that every interaction we have with people is an opportunity to represent God. Mm-hmm. Joshua reminds the people of Israel about what God did for them. Mm-hmm. He reminds them in that verses 1 through 15, God says, and I brought you out of Egypt and brought you to the Red Sea. And I, so there are 21 times, and you need to go read it. Mm-hmm. There are 21 times that God reminds the people of Israel what he did for them. Mm-hmm. Joshua
he had to keep reminding
and
them.
He had to keep reminding
That's
them.
That's a problem for me.
Uh-huh.
Why somebody got to keep reminding you what you did for them?
Come on.
I got to keep reminding you that I did this for you?
Right. You should just remember.
Mm-hmm. What God did the last time.
Mm-hmm. Why do I have to keep saying, remember I did this. Mm-hmm. Remember answer that I brought you. Remember you were in that situation and I did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he shouldn't have to.
Right, but God loves us. You know, yes, he loves us. And sometimes we be like, you know, I know you did it the last time, but are you going to do it this time, God? I know you made a way last time, but are you going to heal it?
But this is different.
Right. You understand what I'm saying? I know you healed my body last time, but are you going to heal it this time?
Right.
I know you healed sister over there, cancer, but are you going to heal me this time?
Yeah, I don't think you're
going to. God said he's forever the same.
No,
God changes not.
He doesn't.
Mm-mm. Right.
Right.
We have to be with God. You understand what I'm saying?
You have to trust him completely.
Mm-hmm. Completely. And we must be fully committed to him.
Yeah.
Sometimes as Christians, we feel like, okay, well, is it really going to happen? Because we get tired of waiting. Mm-hmm. But we have to stand fast and continue to pray. Yeah. Pray continually.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to continue to wait on God.
Yes.
And sometimes we get tired of waiting. You know, sometimes when you're standing up in line, you're like, dog, I'm just going to put this back. Because
I don't have time. I got someplace to
I got
go.
Someplace. My leg hurts.
Okay.
My feet hurt. And sometimes that's how we do God.
Yes. He's taking too long.
Right. But we got to be committed. We got to sit there and wait.
Right. I use the analogy of a pie sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like we believe that God can do everything except that little slice. That little slice. God, I trust you with 98% of this. Mm-hmm. But that 2%, I just don't think you can do that.
God, always remember, God don't need your help.
He doesn't.
God don't need your help. Mm-hmm. He created us.
You know, and he'll get to a point that if you keep trying, he's just going to back up and be like, you know what? You got it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to let you figure it out. And then when you're ready to come back, then we can talk. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But he doesn't need our help.
Yeah. God is faithful.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Let me see. And he said that there are things that happened in the past that will cover our children. So, because God reminded them that he took care of their family, their parents and grandparents and great-grandparents in the day when they were going through everything, doing all that they were going through, all that Abraham, he was God, all that they went through, he was there, he helped them. And he does that because he knew that was something that they needed to do. Mm-hmm. For example, he used our grandparents. God allowed our grandparents. God covered our grandparents because, and he didn't let them die or go through certain things because he knew he needed us to get here. Mm-hmm. He had a couple come up with their son, and he used the analogy of, the analogy he gave was he knew his dad, my bishop, my father-in-law, went through some things.
didn't always live the life, mm-hmm. but God didn't allow him to die in those things mm-hmm. because he knew that Jeremy had to get here mm-hmm. and that there was a purpose in Jeremy's life. Mm-hmm. And so we have to remember that there are things that God didn't allow us to die in because he knew we had to have our children, get our children here and help them go through things. Mm-hmm. And that is so important that we have to understand that in our commitment to God, mm-hmm. that we are fully committed mm-hmm. and trust God that no matter what we're going through, that he's going to help us through it and that we are here to make sure our children are covered and help them get through whatever they have to go through mm-hmm. because they're going to also mm-hmm. possibly bring someone into this world mm-hmm. that God has a purpose for them.
Generational blessings.
Yes, absolutely. And we talk about generational curses all the time, but why can't we talk about generational blessings? Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, in the scripture, Joshua said, you know, God has done all these things, mm-hmm. But it's on you. Mm-hmm. You choose. Choose you to say who you're going to serve. Who you going to serve.
Right. Choose you.
I can't speak for you, mm-hmm. but as for me.
And my house.
This is what we choose to serve. We're going to serve the Lord, mm-hmm. but it's important that you choose. Mm-hmm. Now, I need you to go back and look at all what God has done.
Because mm-hmm. he got a track record.
He has a track record. Mm-hmm. He doesn't fail. Doesn't fail.
He has the best paper trail ever.
Listen, you mm-hmm. talked about paper trails, yes.
He has the best paper trail ever.
He does. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to look back far. And this morning.
His paper trail is so good, other people's taking notes.
They watch it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. They watch.
Yeah. So that was my message of the week, my MOTW. So thank you. So thank you again for joining me today. I appreciate it. It has been a great conversation, and I look forward to having some more.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Pleasure all mine. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
You're so welcome. And thank you for joining me today on The Second Row. You can join me every Wednesday on YouTube, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Remember to subscribe, like, follow, and share. And tell somebody about Second Row Conversations podcast. We are so appreciative that you are joining us every Wednesday. And remember, no matter where you are, no matter where God has placed you, accept it, embrace it, and flourish in it. Thank you. See you next time.